Well, let's look at the scripture from the Gospel of Luke a moment. We'll look at chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It's perhaps one of the most cinematic, one of the most, some have called it operatic, scenes in the scriptures, especially in Luke. Luke loves to tell these stories about the joy of salvation coming into the hearts of people. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I had cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Here ends the reading of God's holy word for us this morning. Thanks be to God. Lord, speak through me, that we might hear the wonderful words of Jesus. Luke is the only one who gives this account of Zacchaeus' encounter with the Lord. It's in Jericho, a great city Jericho was. So let's look first at Jericho itself. Jericho was among the pearls of the ancient Near East, a very wealthy city located on a rich plain just near to the Jordan River itself. It's one of the lowest cities in the world. It is over 200 feet below sea level. And as you would rise to Jerusalem, which Jesus was on his way to, in this, the 19th chapter, it just says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing on through. He was on his way to Jerusalem for that encounter, that day, with the cross he was bound for. But Jericho was called the City of Palms. The Jewish historian Josephus called it the fattest in Palestine. It was so rich. The region grew a balsam, from which we get the word balm. You might have heard of the balm of Gilead. Well, this is where it came from. In fact, it was so highly prized an aromatic, a medicinal resin of the tree, tapped for its value, like we do maple for maple syrup. This resin was derived from the plants of the balm tree and was used in trade. The Romans took it throughout the world. The scent of balsam trees was said to have hung heavy around the city. And along with balsam, Jericho was known for its figs. When I was a kid, I wondered how in the world Zacchaeus climbed up that sycamore tree. You know the little song that we learned, perhaps some of you in vacation Bible school or Sunday school, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he, climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And I was wondering, when I saw the sycamore trees around us, how in the world did he get up that tree? He had to shinny up in order to get to the first limb. Well, turns out the sycamore fig trees of Jericho were trees more like the English oaks that we might see. You know, they had, first of all, they were fat and trunk at the bottom, and then almost straight off, limbs would spring out like this way, forming a canopy over the streets in which they grew alongside. So it was easy to grab a limb, even if you were, how does the scripture say, short of stature, like Zacchaeus was. Easy to grab a limb and get up into it for the Lord he wanted to see. They also grew these figs. Now, as I was looking into it, apparently sycamore figs aren't the best of the figs to eat. But they're kind of crazy. They grow straight out of the trunks and limbs of the tree in a weird way. It almost looks like the tree has warts of figs, boils, if you will. They're just growing out in big clusters straight out of the trunks. I got some figs recently. There's a Mediterranean, I guess you'd say a Palestinian store not far from us, and I love to go there and picked up a round of figs. One thing I tell you, never, ever eat a whole round of figs at once. Bad things will happen. But I love figs. And it's this that was exported throughout the Roman world by people of Jericho. So having set the scene, let's look at what the story can teach us. First, Zacchaeus was wealthy, the scripture says. A chief tax collector, he was. And wealthy. Wealthy, but not happy. He knew Zacchaeus did that. He had few real friends. He may have had hangers on, but most of the people of Jericho despised him. As a chief tax collector, that meant that he was at the top of the pyramid of the bureaucracy of tax collecting. And so was seen as the chief skimmer of skimmers, which is basically what people thought about tax collectors. They knew that they were just skimming from the top. It was sort of like graft. Graft not even too far back in our own history. But certainly graft that you can see in third world countries today going on. And people to this day despise that kind of graft, even though they themselves might be a part of it. He felt the pain then of isolation, of being isolated. And I was thinking, though it may not just be the wealthy who feel the pain of isolation. My parents have often remarked that they've outlived all their friends. Perhaps some of us feel that kind of pain as well. Isolation is a thing that's not only felt by though the older, but of even our youth today. There's studies that abound that show that young people are feeling more isolated than at any time in our cultural history, the story of our culture, the internet, and social media in particular, have caused people to compare themselves to the airbrushed images that they're seeing in social media and saying, boy, I'm desperately alone in this world. And it's to such as these, Zacchaeus, who felt an isolation which perhaps was deserved, and to those of us who are feeling isolated in our culture, feeling that we are without friends, true friends, that Jesus spoke, I'm coming to your house today. There I must stay. And Zacchaeus was who at once came down and welcomed him gladly. You know, the only way that we can overcome our isolation is through the one who welcomes us gladly. On the day we open our hearts to him. Oh, happy day, that is. Oh, happy day when we come into a family because we've opened our hearts to him. A family where we are, what does Jesus say? A son of Abraham. He points back not to Moses, but to Abraham, who the scripture says, because he believed in God, trusted what God had said to him, was therefore justified by his faith. And so as we welcome this Lord Jesus into our hearts by faith, so what does happen to us? I'll tell you what happened to me. Out in Oregon, I wasn't known by anybody in the church I walk into that day. Wasn't any more known than Adam. But that church welcomed me that day. This place isn't just a building. Brothers and sisters, is it? It's a place where the isolation of the world is broken because of Jesus in our hearts. Jim and Bonnie, I remember them to this day. They took me into their home. We went camping. The first deer I shot was with Jim and Bonnie. who took me into that church under their arms, under their wings, because of Jesus. Oh, happy day. That fixed my choice on Jesus. And I've never looked back. That's what happens. The balm of Gilead. And secondly, note that for Zacchaeus and those like him, wealthy, maybe even ill-begotten gains, as his were, it was repentance that showed his trust in Jesus was genuine. Faith followed up by action. Zacchaeus, look at what he did. He did what was far beyond what the law required. Leviticus chapter 6 and Numbers and chapter 5 both say that if a confession and the restitution of followers is voluntary, then only the original value plus a fifth, 20%, was to be repaid. But what did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus went far beyond. He said, I'm giving back four times what I may have cheated anyone out of. And I'm giving as well half of my possessions. It cost Zacchaeus to follow Jesus. Someone said, a testimony that I've come to know Jesus is utterly worthless unless it is backed by deeds which guarantee its sincerity. It is not a mere change of words which Jesus demands, but a change of life. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, for us to open our pocketbooks to the Lord, as well as speak with our mouth, to do, to like Robin go on a mission trip, to exercise our faith, this is to say. Because words can be cheap. But when we do as Zacchaeus did, it's the true test of our faith. Thirdly, look at how the story ends. Today, Jesus said, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Good news for Zacchaeus has come. He's been, by welcoming the Savior into his life and backing it up with action, action that cost him, and cost him not just a little, he's been welcomed back into the community. Before, think about this. This short man, Zacchaeus, when he was trying to see Jesus, when maybe wading through the crowd in an effort to see him, those people having been in the attitude despising him as they did, you think there would have been a few thrown elbows at Zacchaeus? Do you think there would have been maybe the unknown punch on Zacchaeus? Do you think he would have gotten through without being black and blue? No, that's why he got up a tree. He had no community. But now, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so are we when the Savior calls us. We're welcomed into this community. And the final words of this story, they point forward to Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. His journey to the cross. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so are we without Jesus. So are we. And so happy day it is. Happy day. When Jesus calls. Amen.